When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to this week's edition of Hockey Unfiltered, the podcast with Ken Campbell. I am the sidekick. I am Dylan Waugh. I'm the Merle Haggard to Ken's Willie Nelson. Ha! Going to the country music. Because today we're going to be talking about Bobby Hull. We're going to be talking about the PHF All-Star Game. We're going to be talking about Bo Horvat and a few other shows and notes around the league. So check us out at Hockey No Filter at Ken underscore Campbell 27 and, of course, underscore Dylan Waugh.
It always
don't
bugged me.
Say it.
Don't say
it. I don't
what?
Know that I screwed up at the end of that.
I don't care. Always bugged me in that song, I Should Have Loved You. I Didn't Love You, that Billy, the Willie Nelson song.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he said, I didn't love you as good as I should have.
Right.
I always wish he'd just said, I didn't love you as well as I should have. Like, why couldn't he have just said that? Like, why couldn't he have just used the right word?
Because
like, why did he have to use the wrong word there?
If you want to get an actual answer, and I do have an actual answer, and it ties into hockey, anti-intellectualism.
Wow. Anti-intellectualism. Okay.
Right. You see.
All right.
There's a rising tide of anti-intellectualism in this country. For example, you know, I was outside the other day, and a guy came by and said, "I'd like to read your gas meter," and I said, whatever happened to the classics?
I don't get it.
Meter is another word for poetry and for the rhythm of poetry.
Yeah.
So I'd like to read your gas meter. And I thought, whatever happened to the classics?
Yeah, whatever happened to good jokes?
So like, this is what happens.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
So that's why I say stuff like talk good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because if I try to make a good joke, you don't get it.
I'm sorry, Ken.
You don't get it. We have to keep this podcast at a third grade level.
No, no. It's like my kids used to say about my jokes. Yeah, I get it. It's just not funny. Like, it's just not funny. Okay, yeah.
I came up with a good one-liner the other day. You want to hear it?
No.
Okay. So, Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson, the reason why is because you're the beloved one, Willie Nelson. And I'm Merle Haggard, the one that nobody's heard of.
Oh, no way. People know Merle Haggard. Oh,
this
my
generation
God.
Does
Connor
not know
Bedard
Merle
is on some kind of friggin' run here.
Who?
We talked about it before. Let's talk about that later.
Okay.
Like, it's insane.
Let's talk about it now.
Because he's playing tonight. No, because I got to add up all the numbers. Actually, it's actually easy to add up all the numbers because he didn't score in his first game, and he scored in every game since. So whatever he has this year, minus one game is what he's got.
I don't know. Look,
so he's got 88 points in 34 games.
As a self-proclaimed draft expert, as you know that I am,
yep.
You know, because every year I watch the final of the World Juniors, I think he's a bust.
Yeah.
I think he's overrated.
Okay, good. Well, that makes one of you.
That was another joke.
He's insane. Like, he's insane. This is ridiculous.
Should we get him back on the show?
Maybe.
Yeah.
He'd come on.
Yeah. Well, he's been on before.
He's a nice boy.
He's a sweet kid.
Like, he's got a 34 point game point streak.
Yeah.
He didn't score in the first game of the year, and he's scored in every game since then, a goal or an assist in every game since then. In the last 34 games, he's got 43 goals and 45 assists. And and he's plus 27 because he was minus one in his first game. And I mean, what did he get in the World Juniors? So he had, 14 points in the World Juniors?
Yeah.
In seven games?
No, more.
15, 16? What did he have? I can't remember.
It was, anyways.
Get that quick, because that's seven games, so that'd be 41 games.
Yeah.
Right? And he had,
in 2022, he was, like, 9 goals a game.
Yeah, he was stupid in that game, too.
Yeah.
Stupid in those ones.
Yeah. Hang on, I almost got it. But I was, of course, joking. 23 points. Yeah, I knew it was in the 20s.
So he's got 111 points in his last 42 games.
Is that good?
Yeah. And then if you go back to the World Juniors that were in the summer, yeah, where he had a bunch of points.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's insane. Like,
he had like 6 points in like one game in that World Juniors in the summer.
No, we had four when.
Oh, no, I'm thinking about the canceled World Juniors. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, I have people still wondering whether he's a generational player. He's a generational player. He's a generational player.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got 110 points in his last 42 games.
There comes a point where it's like, why overthink this?
Yeah, exactly.
Look, yeah. I mean, I hate to go back to, and it's only because I'm being that jerk that just relates one undersized player to all undersized players.
Yeah.
Right? But I hate to go back to, like, even when Bergevin drafted Caulfield, what he said was he's always been 5 foot. 6 or 7 or however tall Cole Caulfield is.
Yep.
And he's scored at every level.
Yep. Yep.
Including the NCAA.
Exactly. Well, not by that point. He hadn't started in the NCAA when he got drafted, but he did score well in the NCAA.
But that's what I'm saying is the logic is, right?
Well, yeah. And you know, I mean, I know there were people, scouts that I talked to that said, Cole Caulfield is a top 5 talent in this draft.
Yeah.
Top 5 talent.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Yeah.
You know?
But so then going to like Bedard, like I don't, in terms of the idea of like playing against men and playing against whatever, I don't know if a lot of the people that are concerned about the not playing against men have spent a lot of time around CHL players.
Yeah.
There's a lot of men in that locker room.
There's a lot of
it's
big,
not
big,
the
big
same.
People.
No, it's not the same.
It's not.
But like, it's not as dissimilar as you'd think. What I mean?
Yeah, and like Connor Bedard's like not going to take 2 years to get it.
No.
He's going to get it pretty quick.
Yeah.
So now, like, whenever I see like Columbus win games and Chicago win games and Anaheim win games, I'm like, wow, like this is truly, I mean, there are drafts, there are good drafts, there are bad drafts, but this is a franchise altering player.
Right.
Like this is your, you know, I mean, this changes, whoever gets this guy, this changes everything. Everything.
Yeah. So, okay. So here's my question. And the reason why I ask this question is the obvious reason, which is that these two teams have not yet won a cup or even come particularly close to winning a cup. But do you put him on the level of Matthews McDavid?
I do. Okay. I do.
Do you think that he's higher than that level, or do you think that that's a good...
Hard to say that he's higher than a guy who scored 65 goals and another guy who's going to get 150 points this year.
Yeah.
No, but I think he's a point-a-game guy right off the hop.
Yeah.
I think he's an 80-point guy in the NHL.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on his situation. He might be on the worst team and have really... You know, but even then, like, God, he just does it all himself. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I think he's an 85 point guy in his rookie season, wherever he goes. Yeah. And that's only going to improve. Yes. Yes. In answer to that question, I think he is on par with Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid. I do.
Yeah,
I do. He's not better. But he's there.
Yeah,
he's
there. I agree with you that it's impossible. I kind of gave you a loaded question.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is impossible to say, you know, if you were, when we had Bob McKenzie on, he'd say, you're trying to radio me, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But so I did give you a bit of a loaded question on purpose. But the reason why I ask, though, is because if you look at a team like Anaheim's a bad example because, to be honest, they've got the talent that they should be a little bit better than what they are now. But if you look at a team like Chicago that is so bereft, right? It's like...
And will be even more next year.
Right.
Because Taves and Kane won't be there.
Right.
Sam Lafferty won't be there. Like every decent guy they have won't be there next year.
If you take Chicago and you put Bedard on Chicago, like there's no guarantee that they even make the playoffs for 5 years.
Five. I'm not sure about five because, you know, you're going to be, you know, like, look what happened the last time they did this. They got Taves and then Kane.
Yeah.
Right? In successive drafts.
Yeah.
They got Taves third overall and then Kane first overall.
Yeah.
And then they were on their way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's fair.
And but you have to draft well. You have to get a Seabrook in there somewhere. You got to get a Duncan Keith in there somewhere that you pick in the second round. You know, you got to make good trades. You got to pick up Patrick Sharp, stuff like that. But, I mean, it just makes it so much easier when you have that kind of talent, right? And so to me, I mean.
Underrated on Chicago is Corey Crawford, of course, having the goaltending.
Yes.
Sorted.
Yeah,
I mean, he was never the best goalie in the league, but...
But he wasn't there at the beginning. It was Antti Raanta that won the first time. Antti Niemi. Antti Raanta.
He's Antti having a good year, too.
He is. Carolina's having a freaking stupid good year.
Yeah, but...
They're like 7 points behind Boston. They both play tonight. They win and Boston loses tonight. It's a race.
Yeah.
It's a race.
Yeah.
For the first time since the start of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
We got a race.
Boston just started... steamrolling everybody.
Yeah.
But Carolina is just such a good team, man. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just like, what do you even say about Carolina?
What were they down 4-1 last night? Come back 5-4.
Yeah, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I am of the opinion, and this might come as a hot take or a surprise to somebody, but I'm of the opinion that if you can come back from 4-1, you should.
Yeah.
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 That's my opinion.
Yep.
And I'm sticking to it.
Good.
By golly. So anyways, I just say that because I just, you know, I mean, you're right. Some teams, they build well through the draft and then they do all of those things and have that luck and all those components come together. But I just, you know, it's...
I mean, it hasn't worked in Edmonton yet. You have the same two. You've got the Dreisaitl McDavid.
Right. And it hasn't worked in Toronto.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got Marner and Austin Matthews. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if he goes into Anaheim... that might be a scary good team. Him and Zegras as your 1-2 punch down the middle. And
Speaking of punch, Zegras might get his head punched off before then. You know, and you've got Mason McTavish. Yeah. You've got some decent...
I was just about to say Mason McTavish, too.
Decent young talent, for sure.
Yeah.
But they've got a long way to go. Yeah, they do have a long way to go.
They do.
I mean,
but I almost hope that he winds up in a team like Arizona or... I think that people are going to throw rotten fruit at me down the streets of Toronto if I say something like that. But I almost hope that he winds up on a team like Arizona or Anaheim, teams that
need that kind of guy.
Not just that need that kind of guy, but have actually proven that they're not just tanking.
Oh, I think Arizona's tanking big time.
Oh, no, they are.
Anaheim's not. Columbus is not. That's why I've been cheering for them.
Right, Columbus is another one.
Columbus isn't tanking. Yeah, Arizona, they just suck. They just are bad.
Arizona's early in their rebound, and they're still at the tank part of their rebound.
Yeah.
But you're starting to see them tick up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if they were a stock, this is the time that you're buying.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're starting to see them... put together the young pieces and those steps necessary, as opposed to Chicago literally was just like, it's all gone.
Yeah.
Burn it all down and we'll see what we can do out of the ashes. Mm-hmm. That's why I say, and Columbus is another one. Like you say, like it's, you want to see the teams that haven't necessarily tanked rewarded.
Right.
And you want to see them get the pick, or obviously Montreal should get it.
Like just because
look at the conspiracy theories on Twitter. That would be worth it alone.
Yeah, they can't bottom out so badly that they'll fall that far. I don't think, right?
But you've got the addition of two picks potentially.
Yeah.
Florida's still, I mean, it's on the cusp, but you know, so you're, let's say you've got a 8%, that 8% can become 10% kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Should we move on to another topic?
We didn't even plan for that one.
No, we didn't. Bonus.
Bonus.
Yeah.
Bonus coverage.
Bonus fact, Bedard is good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Hopefully.
I hate when people say that. Fun fact. And then they say something stupid.
I tried to rev you up on Twitter the other night and it didn't work, but...
No, you didn't.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm so zen. I'm so zen.
You're
so
zen. All right, so...
I wasn't zen today at pickleball. I was pissed off. I was throwing my racket.
I was
going
to ask you how you threw your racket at pickleball.
A guy swore at me today.
And I've seen you throw
your stick. Just an effing game. Stop the bullshit.
And I've seen you throw your stick at hockey.
Yep. Yep.
For those that want the peek behind the curtain, Ken is exactly who you think Ken is. Just so you
not
know.
Just in like off away from the all of this, I'm actually quite a pleasant person.
Oh, I didn't say you weren't pleasant.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
very pleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm an idiot.
No, but I'm saying an idiot. You're exact because you're like this like high energy go guy. Like you hate golf because that means that you have to stop walking for like 8 seconds. You know? Like that's just like that encapsulates you.
I also right there. Hate golf because I'm terrible at it. You know, I was thinking today, like, I know other people are better gonna be better than me, but why do I always have to be like the worst? That's what pisses me off. Why do I always have to be the worst one there? Like, why?
55 years later, I'm still getting picked last.
Like, I'm telling you, Dylan, I grew up in Sudbury, Ontario,
yeah,
where there's 10 months of winter and 2 months of bad skating. I grew up across the street from an outdoor rink. Right. I was out there all the time. All the time. And I suck. Like, what is with that? Like, why does hockey hate me so much? I love hockey. It hates me. Why?
It's like, what was the Simpsons joke? Why does everything I whip have to leave me? Oh, that's really funny, Ken. That's really funny, pal.
Like, I think the 10,000-hour rules is a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, I think it really that 90% of what Malcolm Gladwell says.
It doesn't, you can't apply it to hockey, no way.
Yeah.
But I probably came pretty close.
Do you know how broken your body really would be close. After 10,000 hours of hockey?
Well, just think. If you're practicing 1 hour a day.
Yeah.
One hour, like dedicated practice, 1 hour a day, 10,000 days. That's like 20 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So you do it 2 hours a day. Okay, 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, but
2 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I know, it's insane.
You're broken.
Anyways, I was close. I was pretty close. I was always out there. Yeah. I was always, and I worked on stuff. Like, I would be out there at 8 o'clock in the morning when no one else was out there.
Okay.
Skating around, working on my shot, working on stick handling. You've seen me play. It's pathetic.
I'm a really nice guy. So I'm going to build you up a little here. Ken put a beautiful pass on my tape on a 2-on-1. And I
flubbed it.
I whiffed it past the net by like 4.5 miles. In fairness, it was across my body. I'm a left shot and I was playing on the left wing. So it's not a good one time position. But he did. He put it in the wheelhouse. I should have been able to get that one, get a good shot.
I shouldn't have passed it to you.
No, you should have just.
I shouldn't have. I should have just tried.
Isn't that what the old people on TV say? Yeah. Just shoot the puck. He just should have shot the puck. I don't care if it hits the goalie in the trash, shoot the puck. But so anyways, I also scored a beautiful shot.
You did. You scored a really good goal.
Far side.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Posting in, baby.
Yeah, it was good.
Ding.
It was good.
All right, let's talk about something other than us. Okay. Because no one cares, as you always say to me. No one cares. So Bobby Hull. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to say that. They actually had a really good article about Bobby Hull on kencampbell.substack.com. I know. I'm just using the death of a man to promote your Substack. But, you know, if it works, it works. Let us know in the comments if you signed up because of that. No, but I think it was a good article because, like you said, uncomplicated man, complicated legacy. That was the tagline of it.
Right.
And it's kind of perfect, right? If you can keep it on the ice, he did a lot for the sport.
But
you can't.
There was no, and I maintain this, he's the most important player in the history of the game.
Because of his defection to the WHA.
Because of that.
And the money.
He redefined a role. He was instrumental in popularizing the slap shot. He was instrumental in popularizing the curved blade stick.
Yeah.
He was railing against violence and thuggery in the 60s before anybody, even it was on anybody's radar.
Yeah.
He, was part of the group that sued the NHL over their pension contributions and won.
Yeah.
There wasn't a player like, I mean, you know, Bobby Orr redefined his position. Jean Béliveau was the first big, you know, power man in the history of the game. But I would argue that there is not a player, a non-executive, a player who has had a bigger impact on the sport than Bobby Hall had.
So something that I was thinking about after his death, and I've actually kind of come around on this. I'm actually, something happened today that I've kind of come full circle on this. But I don't like when somebody's death is used as an opportunity to rag on that person.
Yeah.
And the reason why is not because I don't think that Bobby Hall deserves it. I'm sorry, but some of the stuff he said and did is just beyond.
Yep.
It's disgusting.
Yep.
And you said it in your article, right? Mm-hmm. But the reason why I say that is because he's dead.
Yeah.
The only people there to read those tweets
are the people that care about him.
Yeah. Are his friends and family.
Yeah.
Who are, by definition of his transgressions, victims.
Mm-hmm.
And should be allowed to mourn in their own way.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why I've changed this opinion, or not changed, but altered slightly, is because today I actually spoke with my mom and her husband this morning. And both of them said to me, did you know that Bobby Hall was a racist? I didn't know that before this.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, my mom's a, you know, she'll watch hockey on occasion.
Right, right.
And her husband, though, used to be very into it when Bobby Hall was playing. So he would be somebody that you'd think would kind of know a little bit more.
Or he just had the unvarnished view of him, right?
But this is,
and
this
that's, is my point. That's what gets ruined a lot of times, right?
Right.
You know? I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah.
So like my thought would be if something like that happens and somebody dies, I would think like put a notification in your calendar for a month from now. I'm going to write an article about, you know, examining the legacy of Bobby Hall. But to go on Twitter and to, like I said, it's the victims.
I just think it has to be balanced. It has to be balanced.
Yeah.
And
I'm not defending, you know, Bobby
like,
Hall.
Like no. Yeah. No, you have to, like, when you are talking about his death, you have to talk about his transgressions. You have to. You absolutely have to. And they have to be mentioned prominently and they have to be pointed out. Yeah. Without question.
Yeah.
Without question. But I saw one piece and on a website, and the headline was "Good Riddance, Bobby Hall."
Disgusting.
You know, like, okay, well, okay, that if that's what works for you, that's what works for you.
No, it's disgusting.
I'm not doing that.
It's disgusting.
You know what I mean? I'm not doing that. I think about, say, when Donald Trump dies, whenever that is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be pretty vicious.
Yeah.
It'll be vicious, but I'd like to think that people will also point out some of his positive qualities,
I don't know which positive thing you could leave me to think about it for a year and I wouldn't find one.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, the economy, like when he was president, he screwed up a lot of things and he was a terrible person.
Yeah.
The economy was in very, very good shape. No wars. You know, there were positive aspects to his presidency. I mean, it's overshadowed, no doubt.
Yeah,
overshadowed and whitewashed, and as it should be, by everything else.
Yeah.
But you can't, I mean, you can't forget those things.
Can I say one thing, a really good thing that he did? He did bring jobs to America, because prior to Donald Trump, America used to have to outsource its terrorists.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that now they've got homegrown
domestic
terrorists. Good,
yeah, for sure.
Good old fashioned American terrorists.
Like you don't see any help wanted ads looking for terrorists anymore. They got them.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, this is the thing. I think that Bobby Hall, in a way, is his legacy is more complicated than Donald Trump. And it's because of, you know, like a friend of mine brought up a good point to me, which is, like, he's not a hero. My friend is a Leafs fan. He's not a hero for either of our teams.
Yeah.
Right? And he said, so we're going to go and tear down this guy. But meanwhile, if somebody came out and was like, ah, man, I was in a bar with Jean Beliveau one day and he was spouting off stuff about how much he loves Hitler. And you know what I mean? Like, where would my mind go?
Yeah.
Or your mind go, for that matter, if somebody came out with like irrefutable proof that Jean Beliveau was a Nazi.
Right.
Right. So for us to turn around and just talk about this guy who is a hero to fans of another team there's an insensitivity to it and a sort of lack of whatever. But anyways, like I said, though, the other side of it is that the information got out where people who didn't have that information, who I assumed there was almost nobody that didn't know.
But where I have a problem is I was listening to a podcast where somebody said...
Wait, you don't listen to podcasts?
No, I was listening. I was on Twitter and it was just a portion of it.
Okay, yeah.
And they said, well, you know, you can't... It's right there with Bobby Hull. He was convicted of domestic abuse several times.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
I'm not standing up for the guy.
But he wasn't convicted.
But he was never convicted of domestic abuse. He was convicted of taking a swing at a cop who was intervening on a domestic situation he was involved in.
Yeah.
And there are ex-wives of his that have, and I have no reason to believe that they would ever be untruthful about this, but they have said it, but he was never convicted of domestic abuse.
But you can't use a legal term with a non-legal definition.
Yeah.
That's it. Convicted is a specific and legal term.
Yeah.
Right? And so you can't just change words to suit what you want. I mean, it's
well, especially when it is someone's legacy, you know?
Right.
Right. So exactly. Anyways, I mean,
nobody's
terrible people
him.
Do wonderful things.
Right.
And that's what happened in this case. He was a very flawed individual. He was not a good person. But that's not all he was.
Theodore that's Roosevelt my point. And
on
in
a
day,
on a diet, on a time when a guy dies,
yeah.
You know, I just don't think you can focus on one thing on either side. Like, you're not going to gild the lily and talk about what a great guy he was.
Yeah.
But I also think that you know, you can't just bury the guy.
We're uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
Societally right
now. Well, I think too, like, it's a whole media thing. Like, I think people want to prove how brave they are. You know, like, look at me. I'm going to rag all over Bobby Hull, even though he's dead, you know, kind of thing.
Which is my original point.
It's like, here's, you know, look how brave I am, you know, sort of thing. Okay.
Yeah. Which is my original point.
And that's okay. I mean, that's all right, but I'm not doing that.
Yeah. And that was essentially my original point, which is that he's dead.
Yeah.
He's not reading your tweets.
Right. Yeah.
You haven't changed his mind on a subject.
Right.
And so you have to, you have to check where that's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the flip side of that is that the people going around defending Bobby Hull on Twitter, just give it a rest. You know what I mean? What those people are saying that are ragging against him, I don't like the timing. I don't like how they're doing it. All the rest of that stuff, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But the people that are going around defending him at the same time, like, it's not defensible.
Yeah.
You can say, oh, I don't, you know, maybe this is a bad time to say that, or maybe this is whatever, but you can't turn around and say, well, he wasn't a full Nazi.
I don't think anybody's saying that though.
No,
are they saying that? Like, I don't know. I haven't followed it closely enough.
I'm just saying that that it's like I just stayed completely out of the Twitter conversation. I haven't even acknowledged his death. Lots of people die. Some good, some bad. You know? What's gonna be said about Don Cherry when he passes away?
Yeah.
Right? What's gonna be said about me when I pass away? Boy, that guy had a terrible take on the defense of Bobby Hull on Twitter, let me tell you.
Wow. That's how people will remember you.
That's my legacy. I've built my legacy right here and now.
You ever notice how people talk about Twitter like it's like the be all and end all?
Yeah, I mean, it's sampling bias.
It's a very small community too, and it's a cesspool. And
you know that my favorite cartoon about sampling bias. This guy with like a pie chart, and it says like 99%, and then 1%. Then he's like. He's like, according to our survey, 99% of people like answering impromptu surveys. So we have a sampling bias on Twitter, and we have to acknowledge that, which is a certain type of people use Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on.
Hey, everybody. This time of year, everybody's talking about making big changes, which is all well and good, but most of the time pretty unrealistic. Take me for example. I said I wasn't going to throw my racket in pickleball anymore, and I still do it. I've actually found that the smallest change to your routine can make the biggest impact. In the same way, you don't have to break the bank to make a big deal purchase. Even the smallest things can be part of a big change if it's something you use every day, like my Raycons. Raycon is premium audio at the perfect price point so you can build great habits without breaking the bank. Whether you're looking for a pair of everyday earbuds, low-latency gaming headphones, or a speaker with a battery that will last all night at your next party, Raycon's got you covered. And yes, Raycons start at half the price of other premium audio brands. So you don't even have to choose between products. You can get one of each, or a pair, and a spare, and still pay less than you would with some of the other guys. Even if you know you'll love your Raycons as much as I do, Raycons wants to make sure you feel great about your purchase. They offer a buy now, pay later option. Every purchase has an easy and free return guarantee. Ready to buy something small with a big impact? Go to buyraycon.com/THPN today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score 15% off. buyraycon.com/THPN.
Bo
knows Long Island.
Check out kencampbell.substack.com. Check us out on Twitter at HockeyNoFilter. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe. Do all that great stuff. Check out Ken_Campbell27. And, of course, check out myself at _DylanWaugh. We are now going to talk about Bo Horvat in a trade. Well, okay, so I haven't read your article on this one yet. I didn't have a chance. You came up with it yesterday, I believe. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to read your article on this one, but you did write an article because Ken writes at kencampbell.substack.com.
He does.
So tell me your initial thoughts on the Horvat trade.
It's going to be if it's a high risk, high reward trade. It's a very, very high risk, high reward trade.
For who?
For the Islanders. For the Islanders.
Yes. Okay.
Because there is the possibility that they get the double whammy of not making the playoffs and Bo Horvat not signing long term there.
And not being able to move him at the trade deadline.
Yeah. Well, they could.
Or not for a reasonable cost.
Yeah. But that trade will be a complete failure.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think that the Islanders have any assurances that he's going to sign there. I honestly don't.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a contract in the drawer like they talk about. I think Lou Lamoriello has a very good idea of what it's going to take.
Yeah.
To sign Bo Horvat long term.
Yeah.
And he's clearly prepared to offer him that because he probably wouldn't have made this trade if he weren't. But that doesn't mean he's still going to get the guy. That doesn't mean he's still going to get him because maybe Bo Horvat just goes, maybe I'll, I'm surprised more guys don't just say, you know what? I've in for a penny, in for a pound. I might as well see what's out there. You know what I mean? And it might be of no fault of the Islanders. Like they might have a really good run here, make the playoffs, win a couple of rounds. You know, everything's really good. And he might just still say, like, if it were me, I might just still say, you know what? Like, I've come this far, and I'm not going to be with the team that I thought I was going to be with.
Yeah.
He says, I thought I was going to be a Canuck for life.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Let's see what's out there.
And the Islanders is not one of those teams that historically, in recent history, retains players like that. In the sense of...
Well, yeah, they've had their problems. I mean, obviously with John Tavares.
No, but I don't even mean like that, because you're saying like, will he test free agency? Or you're saying that he probably will test free agency. I'm saying like...
No, I'm not saying he probably will. I'm saying I would.
Okay, so what I'm saying is that teams like San Jose, for example, when a player gets traded to San Jose with no contract in the drawer, oftentimes they go, oh boy, I'd be okay living here in San Jose. Yeah, let's talk about a contract. When they go to the New York Rangers... A lot of time, like those teams, Vegas Golden Knights, another one, all those teams historically have a good time
yeah.
re-signing players that they get as rentals, right? Conversely, you look at like Thomas Vanek coming to Montreal, has a great playoff run. And then it's like, hey, let's put the band back together of one of the best lines in hockey last year. Mm-hmm. And he goes, nah.
Yep.
You know, yep. I'm trying to think of other examples.
Well, it, yeah.
The Chicago Blackhawks in their heyday. I mean, the famous one that they retained was Marian Hossa.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, the Islanders is not one of those teams that's known for being a team that's able to retain players like that. Of that.
Well, they lost Ryan Smith when they did exactly the same thing. Like, correct. Exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Ryan Smith went to Colorado and signed there.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens. And I don't think that they view Horvat as a rental. I think they view him as a player.
I agree.
That they're prepared to do what it takes to sign long term. Yeah. And they may very well do it.
Yeah.
Like, Lou is Lou. And, you know, I mean, Lou is the godfather for a reason, right?
Yeah, he's going to light the world on fire whenever he can. Yeah.
And so, anyways, so, you know, he may very well sign there. But this is not like a Timo Meier situation, right? Like with Timo Meier, as long as you're willing to offer him $10 million on a qualifying offer next year.
Yeah, he's an RFA.
You've got him. You've got him. You've got him for at least one more year at minimum. And then if you use that time to put together a 7-year deal that starts with an 8 or a 9, you're probably going to get him.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah.
So Bo Horvat on the Vancouver Canucks had the second lowest percentage of faceoffs in the offensive zone.
Mm-hmm.
He started the second least amount in the offensive zone by percentage of any forward on the team.
Right.
And he had the second most points.
Right.
As a raw stat on the team.
Yep. Yep.
And he had excellent, all the other numbers, expected goals, Corsi, well, all that stuff.
I mean,
excellent.
Power play. He's a good power play guy. I mean, he's gonna help.
He's always been a good power play guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to help. There's no question. I would assume they'll put him with Barzal. And so that will take a lot of heat off of Barzal on taking draws, because Bo Horvat will be able to take them. Yeah. And Barzal will have a player, an offensively gifted line mate with whom he can play. So I assume it's going to bring out the best in Matt Barzal. I assume it's going to improve their power play. I assume they're going to be better. But whether they're good enough or not, like I figured out the other day, they have 55 points in what? 30 in 52 games, right?
Bo Horvat does.
No,
the Islanders.
The Islanders. I think I don't think it's going to take 100 points to make the playoffs in the East this year like it did last year.
Doesn't seem to be that way.
Probably going to take about 95 though.
Yeah.
So they've got to get 40 points in their last 30 games. They got to play 667 hockey.
Right.
In their last 30 games.
Yeah.
A team that's to this point played whatever they've played. Yeah,
not much above 500.
Yeah, yeah, not super high above 500. So they got to pick it up. Like there's absolutely no guarantee the I think the odds are against the Islanders making the playoffs this year.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I would agree with you.
I mean, if I had to bet 50-50 chance, I'd bet against them making the playoffs. They've played more games than most of the other teams, and they're still behind, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, they had an early season surge, like when they first got out of the gate, they looked good.
Yeah.
But ultimately, and it left some of us, you and I particularly, kind of scratching our heads going, oh, boy, we didn't think these guys were going to be very good this year. Yeah. But, I mean, essentially they are what
January was,
we thought they would be.
January was brutal for them.
Yeah.
Brutal. They had a brutal schedule, and they were brutal. Do you know they went 11 games without scoring in the third period? Like 11 games. How do you do that?
Okay, Money Puck has the Islanders as 11% odds to make the playoffs.
Yeah, so there you go.
11%.
That's pretty, that's dire.
That's dire.
Yeah.
Dire is an apt word for it, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I think, I also looked it up. Bo Horvat, 56% Corsi 4 percentage, and that's well.
And that's good, right?
Yeah, well, anything about 50% is excellent.
Yeah.
Like 52% is excellent.
Right.
56% is really, really good.
Yep.
And that's well always starting in the defensive zone. And he's able to put, like, how good are you at winning draws and or forcing turnovers in your own zone and getting that puck up the ice.
Okay, so here's my point. Here's my point. You just said all those things about him.
Yeah.
He's having the best season of his career.
Yeah.
He's going to score 40-something goals.
Yeah.
If you're doing that, why would you not say...
Oh, open market all day.
Why would you not say... Why would you not say, yeah, it'd be okay to sign here for a long time, but you know what? Why would I not see what's out there? Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to get demonstrably worse as this year goes on.
No.
You know? I mean, the only risk is that you have a devastating injury that may affect or end your career, in which case then you don't have that
then
security.
You didn't have it anyways.
You don't. No, but if you sign next week and then 2 days from next week,
right,
you have that injury, then you're good.
Right.
Right. But to me, I mean, I just like, if I'm Bo Horvat, I'm not saying what he's going to do because I don't know what he's going to do. He probably doesn't know what he's going to do. But I might just tend to say to the Islanders, look, let's wait till the end of the year. And then at the end of the year, just say, I think I'm gonna see what's out there.
Okay, so
like you could negotiate with one team, or yeah. you could negotiate with 30 teams. Well, not 30 teams because not everybody has a cap space. You can negotiate with one team, or you could negotiate with 15.
So look, Bo Horvat, it's no secret. He's having a career year in terms of points.
Yep.
But he was always really good on the power play.
Yeah.
He was always a really good defensive player.
He's always been a very good player.
He was always a really good defensive player. Now he's doing more things. And anyways, my point is to say is that I don't think that he's going to have another year like this year, but this year's also not exactly a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
Do you think that he's that caliber of player that you would move a player for?
You might.
Like in the sense of, okay, it's the off season. You are the Tampa Bay Lightning. You came just a hair's breadth away again. You got to the conference final this time. And you need something to reinvigorate.
I'm not sure if you're Tampa Bay, you do it, because you already have
Bo out there.
You already have Bo Horvat. His name's Braden Point.
Yeah. Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean,
threw one out there.
So yeah, so but yeah, I see what you're saying. I think if you have a glut of one thing and you can afford to, you know, if you've got a glut of prospects, or you've got a glut of picks, or you've got a glut of defensemen and you have too many, and that fills a need, then yeah, for sure. You're gonna clear cap space to get that guy.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So I'm like, it could be 32 teams that want to negotiate with him. Like, I don't know any team, and even if it's just a cursory negotiation, I don't know of any team that would turn around and say, you know what? A guy that's capable of putting up on a bad year 60 points and playing all of our tough defensive minutes, I don't think that I want that.
Well, even when it was leading up to the trade deadline and he had been traded, people were mentioning Boston as a possibility, you know? So there's your team right there.
Yeah, yeah.
There's your team right there.
Yeah.
You know? So do the Boston Bruins make a run for this guy?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That being said, again, if you're Bo Horvat, there's a lot of interesting free agents coming up this year. I just looked at it on Cap Friendly. You want a quick cursory list?
Yeah.
Kane, Taves, Tarasenko.
Better than.
O'Reilly.
Better than.
Van Riemsdyk.
Better than.
Klingberg, Pacioretty, Pastrnak, DeBrincat.
Pastrnak. Okay, there's Pastrnak.
Yeah, well, a few of these guys we know, but we're sure that they're going back to their team. Pastrnak being one.
We're not sure about that.
I would wait it there.
I would wait it there, but we're not sure about that.
Fair enough. DeBrincat. Larkin, I would assume, is going back to the.
That's one that I'm fairly confident he'll remain a Red.
Yeah, Lucic.
Okay. No, but to me the only
comparable there.
To me, the only guy that is in that conversation with Bo Horvat is David Pastrnak. And if you're right,
I doubt that he's going away from the Bruins.
And if you're right that it's preordained that he's going to return to Boston.
Yeah.
Then that market. You know, for that kind of player, for that status of player.
Because Kane is better than him now. I mean, he's not having a great year, but...
Patrick Kane. Right now is better than Bo Horvat?
I would say if I was to guess who's going to have a better season next season.
I'd say Bo Horvat.
You'd say so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anyways, I guess the point that I was going to get to was that I couldn't see a team at 35 years old sinking a seven-year contract into Kane, meaning that even if they're comparable in terms of talent level.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, there's like eight, what is it, 8 years? What's the difference in their ages?
It's a lot. Yeah, it's like, I think it's six. Dun, 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 dun.
What are
dun,
we doing?
I thought you were looking up the age.
No, I'm just, do you want me to look it up? Sure.
You grabbed your phone and said, what's the difference between their ages?
Well, I know Horvat's 26.
Oh, okay. So then Kane, if he's 26, then it's four, 8 years.
Yeah, Kane was drafted. Yeah.
Kane is 34.
Kane's 34. Yeah.
Okay, great. Now we know. Yeah. Now we know. But anyways, it's not a bad draft class. It's not a bad free agent class this year.
No, it's not. No. Nope.
Right? So he would be in the mix with other free agents, is my point, if he went to free agency.
He would be, but when you're the best.
There's going to be competition for the dollars.
Yeah, but when you're the best.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, then what teams will do is like, then you're plan A,
yeah, right?
You're plan A if you're the best.
Yeah.
Then people try for you and then they go to plan B.
Patrick Kane.
Well, different positions. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly might be plan B. If you're looking at Bo Horvat.
Well, that's the other question. You know, do you look at Bo Horvat as more a center or a winger?
Horvat?
Yeah.
Center. I would, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just, I don't know. It just adds to that level of how excellent Bo Horvat would be as an acquisition.
Right.
Which is,
right.
Whatever you want, you got him. Right? Yeah. He plays forward is what he plays.
Fun fact about Bo Horvat.
Let's hear it.
Remember I said fun fact, how I hate people when people say fun fact?
Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah. Do you know, like he grew up in St. Thomas?
Yeah, just outside of London.
Yeah. Anyways, or no. Where did he grow up? Anyways, he and another player from the Sarnia area, mm-hmm. when they were little kids.
Yeah.
They got releases from every organization to play in the Greater Toronto Hockey League. So every weekend their parents would take them to Toronto,
right,
to play in the GTHL.
Right.
And then they would rent ice during the week, just the two of them, and their dads would get out there and practice with them. And they did that for a couple of years. Like that's crazy, but whatever. I got them to the NHL.
If I was that kid's dad, I would be dining out on that forever and ever. I'd be that guy like at the bar just like screaming at everyone, and I rented ice for that kid.
There he is,
scores again.
Yeah.
Someone buy me a drink.
But can you believe it though? Like from, Rodney, that's where he's from.
Okay.
He's called Rodney.
Yeah.
And can you imagine that though? Every weekend they came to Toronto to play games.
Yeah.
And or they'd go to tournaments or whatever.
Yeah.
And then during the week they'd rent the ice, the two kids with their dads out there working with them. And like, wow. I tend to think Bo Horvat probably would have made the NHL anyways.
Yeah.
But that's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. it's incredible.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, there's actually one other thing that I wanted to tackle with Bobby Hull.
Oh yeah. But I thought we were going to talk about something else too.
PHF.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
One other thing I wanted to talk about Bobby Hull.
What?
Alcoholism.
What about it?
It's a disease.
Of course it is.
Well, I thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot has been made over the fact that, you know, you could tell you got in the house, you knew that he was drinking. A lot of this stuff comes from around drinking. And now it's not to say that the average person has a drink and then, you know, pulls out a shotgun. It's not to say that at all, but it is just to say that, you know, if you or someone you know is, it's a PSA, right? If you or someone you know is struggling with alcoholism,
okay, yeah.
Just like when we talked about the death of Guy Lafleur and
Boris Alming,
the Islanders player,
Mike Bossy.
You know, we talked about smoking,
right?
Yeah, I think that it's worth mentioning.
I disagree because smoking. Well, I mean, it does hurt other people because secondhand smoke and that, but smoking is fairly self-inflicted.
Yeah.
You know, you're inflicting the punishment on yourself.
Sure.
Whereas with drinking, you're inflicting the punishment on yourself and everyone around you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is a difference.
No, I'm not saying that there's not. I am saying is that I think that it's just worth
Fair enough.
Throwing out there that, you know, there are resources.
Absolutely.
Available if you're in a relationship with somebody who is an alcoholic or, you know, and again, I'm stressing, I'm not saying that this is your one-off drink or your, you know, you went out and had some fun or something like that. But
yeah.
Okay. And if you yourself are, check yourself.
Today's February. Speaking of which, today's February 1st. I did dry January.
January's gone.
I'm playing hockey tonight. So, and we go for a beer after. So I'll have a beer tonight.
Tara Inn, baby.
Tara Inn.
Yeah.
In Scarborough, Kingston Road.
Scarborough, Ontario.
Yep. Hey, NBA fans, it's time to bring the hoops action to the palm of your hand with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. This week, new customers can bet $5 and win $200 in free bets instantly. Plus, for a limited time, all new and existing customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app today, opt in, and place a same-game parlay on any NBA game, and if it doesn't hit, you'll get a free bet back. Download the app now and sign up with the code THPN. New customers can bet $5 on the NBA and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Don't forget the code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply.
All right, so let's talk about the PHF. You went to the PHF All-Star Game.
I did, actually. I actually had this idea on Sunday. I came up with it on Saturday. And
this is a dream I've had since noon.
My wife thought it was stupid, but I didn't. I thought, I'm going to go to 3 hockey games in one day at 3 different levels of hockey and write about it. So it'll be coming out maybe later today or tomorrow. But I went, there was a 2:00 game in Mississauga, Mississauga Steelheads against the Ottawa 67s. So I went to that. Then the Leafs had a 5:00 game against the Washington Capitals.
Yeah.
I got there at the end of the first period.
Yeah.
So I was there for the last 2 periods of that. And then I went up to the Mattamy, the old Maple Leaf Gardens.
Above the Loblaws.
Yeah. The Mattamy Athletic Center.
I hate for playing
the,
there.
For the P, I've never played there.
Ah.
For
the ice is not bad.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This is not about you. It's for the PHF.
Parking is. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
For the PHF All-Star Game. Premier Hockey Federation All-Star Game, the Women's League.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it bears some discussion. Yeah. First of all, it's really good to go to an All-Star Game where people actually give a shit, where the players actually care and are trying. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. It was fun to watch.
Yeah.
They played 4-on-4. They had a little 4-on-4 tournament. There was one with all Canadian players, one team with all American players, and one team with players from all over the world.
Was there any fighting?
And like one of the best players there was from Hungary. This Fanny Gasparix from Hungary.
Yeah.
Like, so cool.
Was there any fighting?
No.
So then how did you know that the players cared?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. How could their emotions be running high?
Yeah.
No, but it was fun to watch an All-Star game where players cared.
Yeah.
And really played hard and really tried. Like, that was cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think, I mean, this is a league that is, it's doing stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got some very, very deep-pocketed financial backers at the moment. You know, they raised their salary cap to $1.5 million starting next season.
Yeah.
So if you divide that by 22 players, that's an average of $68,000 a season.
That's not bad.
That's a living wage.
That's a
living wage.
Yeah.
They're not all getting that because Darryl Watts, who just signed for with the Toronto Six, Darryl Watts was one of the last cuts of the Canadian national team.
Yeah.
Before the Olympics, she didn't get centralized. She played at University of Wisconsin, was a star player in college hockey. Anyway, she signed. She's making $150,000 next year.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like that's huge. And to me, I mean, clearly that league doesn't have the best players, right? Like all the best players are playing in the professional Women's Hockey Players Association, PWHPA. And they barnstorm around and do these tours and stuff, and
which is pretty fun too.
Yeah, I guess it is. But there's something to be said, I think, for a league that where you're in the same city all the time, you're playing with the same team, you know, you're grounded, you know where you're at and all that other stuff. Like, I can't imagine that some of these really like elite players sitting there going like, I'm better than her.
Like, this is, yeah.
Like, I should be getting that money, you know?
Now, far be it for me to, you know, to try to insert myself too far into this discussion.
Okay.
But what it kind of feels like is like that there were two ideas for how to create women's professional hockey, which was that league and the PWHPA, right?
It's a stopgap. Like, they're just giving players somewhere to play.
Well, they created a union.
Yeah, it's a union, and they're giving players somewhere to play and some money until, like, their thing is, see that, and that's what the difference is here. Their thing is we want to see one professional league. Well, the PHF is like saying, yeah, okay, we want to see one professional league. We're going to be it. We're going to try to be it. You know, but all of the best players and a lot of the sponsorship money is going to the PHWPA.
Like, PWHPA.
PWHPA. They've got Secret, they've got Sonnet Insurance, they've got a lot of heavy hitters backing them in terms of sponsorship, right?
Yeah.
So they're doing okay too. The PHF, I think, is what worries me about the PHF is I can't imagine that it's not because they just have really deep-pocketed financial backers who really believe in it. But sometimes
long-term viability.
Yeah, sometimes that's not a blueprint for success, because you know, I've found in my time not being one, I found that rich people don't like losing money.
Yeah.
They don't like it. Yeah. And even if they have a lot of it, they don't like losing it. So, anyways, which is to say that, you know, the sort of sub-story under all of this is that the NHL's sitting there going...
Fight it out and let us know
who wins. Well, yeah, but I don't know that the NHL is as committed as they're...
Well, of course they're
not. They're saying, you know? I mean, they're saying, as long as there are competing things, you know, we don't want anything to do with it. And I know a lot of people think the NHL's the answer.
Yeah,
that it's got to be backed by the NHL. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure about that. To me, that's almost a watch what you wish for. You know, watch what you wish for.
Yeah. What I was going to drive at with this was that the PWHPA was essentially trying to create a players' union that could then have a league form around them.
Yeah.
And the PHF was a league that intended to have a players' union form under it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Essentially, both people are arguing as to which one is the cart and which one's the horse.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
To put, you know, a bit of a finer point on it, right? And so I guess if and like I said, I don't want to stick my nose too deep in this because, you know, keep your nose where it belongs, right? But as the PWHPA, as the PHF now has a reasonable salary cap and has backing and has some form of stability for now and for the foreseeable future as the PWHPA, like, it feels like a situation where people have dug their heels in too deeply into their position. Mm-hmm. And it seems like there should be a negotiation for this. And the fact that it hasn't happened yet is concerning to me.
Well, yeah. And I don't think there's any appetite for it.
Yeah, but I agree with you that there's not appetite for it. And it just seems like mutually assured destruction, if you ask me.
No, but the PHF, I think, is like they're getting better. I mean, they've got three of the past five Paddy Kazmaier winners in that league. Paddy Kazmaier Award is the women's hockey equivalent of the Hobey Baker Award.
Right.
The best player in U.S. college hockey. They've got Daryl Watts.
Yeah.
They've got Lauren Gable.
Yeah.
And they've got Elizabeth Jaguar. All playing in that league. Elizabeth Jaguar is, you know, a Hockey Canada player. She's played in a couple of rivalry series games this year as well. So they're You know, there is some traction there, I think. And I mean, for me, it's follow the money. For me, it's follow the money.
Always.
Because that's what the players are going to do, right? You know, we talked about Bobby Hull. The only reason why Bobby Hull went to the WHA and the reason why the WHA was able to exist for so long is that
they gave him a fur coat.
They gave him a lot of money. They gave him a 10-year deal worth $2.75 million, mm-hmm. including a $1 million signing bonus.
Yeah.
So, you know, that changed everything.
Yeah.
That changed everything because then other players started to go. Derek Sanderson went, you know, like some of these established guys, you know, Frank Mahovlich, Paul Henderson, you know, all these guys started to gravitate to the WHA. And I
Gordie Howe.
Gordie Howe.
How did you say all those names without Gordie Howe?
Yeah, Gordie Howe. Well, I think Gordie, it was a chance to play with his kids as much as anything. But
well, you know how his nickname wasn't Mr. Hockey? Oh, wait, it was.
No, but I can't imagine the same thing isn't happening. And for me, like I'm telling these women, tell Ev, scream at the mountaintops how much money you're making. Don't keep it to yourself.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, nothing raises tides like everybody knowing what everybody else is making. You know? And it's happened in the NHL. And so like if I don't know, name the player.
Bo Horvat.
Amanda Kessel, whoever.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, I'm an Olympic team player. I'm a world-class player. And I'm slugging it out here. I'm slugging it out in this barnstorming league and, you know, running hockey schools and, you know, working for an NHL team and like doing all these different things just to stay afloat when I could be making $1.50 playing in this other league.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Sure. I agree with you. It's, you know, these players, once you start putting that money out there.
Yep.
But yeah, I want to see it combined. I know that that's not exactly a hot take.
Yeah.
Right. And for a long time, I thought that the future was the PWHPA. I definitely thought that was the future.
I did too, but I don't think that anymore.
I don't think that anymore
because
either.
They're just there now. Like they're just there and they play and they've talked about having a season and they've never had one. And I mean, they had to go through COVID, but everybody had to go through COVID.
They've become complacent in where they are and what they are right now.
Well, I'm not in a position to say that. I don't know.
From an outside observer. Yeah,
but to me, it's just like, okay, well, we keep seeing this, but when's it going to be something?
Yeah.
You know, when's it going to be something?
Yeah.
And right now it's a barnstorming tour, basically.
Yeah.
Which is good.
An impressive one, some of the best hockey players in the world.
Yeah.
And all that great stuff. Like it's not to take away from these players and from these people, but yeah.
The other thing that I noticed at this thing was I'm sure they were disappointed with the crowd. I mean, it was a decent crowd, but it wasn't a very good crowd.
The Mattamy Center doesn't have a lot of seats.
Well,
though.
Yeah, but I mean, there that yeah, but
it's they, like what 1,000, 1,500?
Oh no. Is it? I think it's more than that. But I think it's.
I
more
thought
than
that I was being
that.
Generous.
I think
but
it's a couple of thousand.
Okay.
But they didn't get a good crowd, and like I was standing there going like, where are all the little girls in hockey sweaters? Like that's what I would have done. I would have filled the place with girls' teams.
Right.
I don't understand why they don't do that.
Yeah.
But it was on a Sunday night at 7:00. So that's a school night. That's a weeknight, basically.
Well, but, you know, is it?
It is.
No, when I say it that way, I mean it more in the sense that, like, I coach hockey around this city. And, like, I coach on Monday nights.
The kids don't mind playing at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Exactly. Monday nights, I coach at 7:15. They get off the ice at 8:15. And their cars by 8:45, home by, let's say, 9:30, a U11 girls team.
Right, right.
10-year-old kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Are home by 9:30 on a Monday night, on a school night. So what I'm saying, when I say is it, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing saying. I'm arguing that the priorities, and if you've got a kid in hockey, you've already got skewed priorities, right?
Well, I
mean that in a good way.
You know, I think, this is another discussion, but about, you know, hockey in Toronto.
Yeah.
And, you know, why is it that a junior team can't survive here? A major junior team can't survive here?
That's crazy.
Like the Marlboros, the Majors, the, you know, and I mean, the Mississauga Steelheads don't, they just don't draw very well.
Generals. Generals
do draw well. But that's, that's an Oshawa. Brampton Battalion, yeah.
Battalion, that's
yeah, they moved to North Bay. And,
yeah.
And I think the part of the problem is that kids can't go to these games because they're always playing.
How about...
like if you're in a weekend league like the OHL, like kids are always doing tournaments and playing and they, you know, the last thing I think their parents want to do is spend more time in a rink, you know?
Yeah. ECHL, so. Brampton Beast.
Yeah, they tried that.
Didn't work.
Well, I didn't think that was even, ever going to work.
We don't have Senior A in Toronto.
Yeah.
We don't have Senior A. So all those fans of Shorzy, we don't have Senior A in Toronto. The Allan Cup League is, well, actually they now have a team in Brampton, but they're Hamilton, Dundas.
Brantford, Mott's Clamatos, right?
No, Winford. No,
the Brantford, Mott's Clamatos.
No, they're gone.
Are they?
Yeah, the Allan Cup League changes. And then we've got the Western Ontario Super Hockey League and the Eastern Ontario Super Hockey League. But my point is there is no Senior A team in Toronto actually in the GTA. Yeah.
Okay.
None.
Okay.
And the closest one is Brampton, and they're 1 year old, and I doubt they'll last longer than that.
Okay.
So.
Anyways.
A real happy note to end off this podcast.
Anyways, I don't know what if anybody cares about any of that, but, I mean, we started with talking about women's hockey, and, yeah, I mean, I've pretty much.
But I agree. Grow the sport through the playing, through the players.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Offer a block of seats to whatever.
Oh, God, offer the whole thing.
Yeah.
Offer the whole thing to girls hockey teams. Like I thought I'd go in there and I my ears would be bleeding because of all the screaming and everything. Like, cause that's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I envisioned when I walked in the rink.
Yeah.
There's going to be like the Leaside Wildcats, the Scarborough Sharks, which I did actually see there. You know, the Etobicoke or the Westmall Lightning or whatever, all these teams, they're all going to be here.
The Panthers, like the
I,
Wolves.
Like, yeah.
The,
like yeah. I thought yeah. I'm going to come in and there's going to be 10, you know, 8 to 14 year old girls and they're just going to be screaming. And I was prepared for that. And I walked in and I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Opportunity missed.
Grassroots.
Yep.
Is the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Grassroots. All right. We all done here?
I think so.
Check out kencampbell.substack.com. Check us out on Twitter at HockeyNoFilter. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. And of course, at kencampbell.substack.com, you can get this podcast directly into your inbox along with all of Ken's other great writing. And at HockeyNoFilter, at Ken_Campbell27, of course, at _DylanWaugh. We will talk to you next week.